It's Tom and Loggy's daily podcast.
Tom and Loggy.
Catch them live weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on K-Rock 955.
And not a lot of flying going on at the moment, but we've all done it. We've all flown at least interstate, if not internationally. Shout out to you if you haven't. You're doing
well. I haven't. I took a boat to Tasmania.
No, I'm saying in their life. In,
oh, in your life. I thought you meant like in the past year or so. It's no, like, no. Man, I haven't been on a plane for ages.
No, no. But like if you've never been on a plane, you're doing well. Because it's kind of hard to avoid these days.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have like a favourite seat when you're booking your seats on the plane?
There's many. Look, do you really want to go through my list of what I've got in my head?
Yeah, go quickly.
No, it depends on who I'm going with. So right. If you're going with two people, we need to be on the outside. So it needs to be aisle and middle, yep. Right? But I do like a window seat only when I'm with people I know.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I can hold my bladder, but it depends how long the flight is. If it's 3+ hours, I need to be on the outside. If it's less than 3 hours, I like being in the window because I like being contained and being able to just turn my back on everyone and sleep out the window. I like having somewhere to curl up.
Fair.
So middle seat for me is the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Because I can't curl up. I find it really hard.
Yeah. I get the being close to the aisle logic. I mean, I get all of that logic.
Yeah.
We tend to, because it's usually Carly and I with Indy on our laps, I'll usually sit in the middle and I'll be
because she won't have a seat.
No.
What age?
She has to now too.
Ah, two.
Buffer. I'll be the buffer between, you know, like Carly gets to sit on the aisle and I'll then be the buffer in between her and whoever else is in that row of three.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So that's kind of how we select ours, but also I'm not paying $8 to choose my seat. So
We'll
pick from what's available if we're allowed to. We'll take what's automatically generated also.
Yeah.
Someone has caused controversy, got people talking online because they think they've found the best seat on the plane.
Mm, safety reasons?
No, not safety reasons, comfort reasons. Because, you know, there's the whole politics of the recline, when you can and can't. If you're reclining, if you're on an hour and a half flight or an hour flight from, you know, Melbourne to Sydney or whatever, and you recline your chair, you're a bad person.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I've only reclined my chair when the person behind me is sleeping. I've sat on international flights straight up the whole time because I didn't want to be an A.
Yeah, exactly.
H.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
So and that's too much. I get that.
Yeah.
But still... Yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Yep. Okay, so this person reckons they found the best seat in the house and it's the very back row window seat.
Near the toilet.
Well, see, people are like, oh, no, you're near the toilet.
Yeah, nothing.
Chuck your headphones in, mate.
Oh, and chuck my smellometer thing down.
Does
no,
it?
No, thanks.
Does the smell go, chuck my smellometer down?
I don't want to be
block
scanning.
Your nose.
Yeah. I don't want, you know how it depends what plane. Because then people line up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want your air near my air. I don't want people standing there constantly.
Yeah, okay.
It'd pee me off.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, this person thinks it's the best spot because your seat does still recline. People say, oh, it doesn't recline because you've got the wall behind you. But they do these days tend to recline.
Yeah.
You're out of the way of everyone.
Mm. You get off last or first.
Or first.
It depends.
It's a bloody roller.
Sometimes you think you're lucky. You're like, yeah, both doors. We'll only be departing out of the front doors today.
Adds an extra half an hour to your flight. So you disagree, not the best seat on the plane. I don't think I've ever sat in the back row.
I've sat in the back row once before. Mm. Yeah. I don't like the fact that people are standing there waiting.
Yeah, I get that. I 100% get that because then I'm like hovering over you.
And then I'm constantly like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, you're waiting.
And they're looking at you like, is that smelling you or is that coming from the toilet?
Also, they're looking at like, what are you watching? Oh, you like watching Antiques Roadshow, do you?
Tom and Loggy. Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
All right, Jimmy and I went out for date night Saturday night because we've realised we don't really go out that much. I don't know. Quite happy golden hour. You know, doing anything. And I think COVID, are you like this too? I feel like COVID's made me more of a hermit.
Yeah.
Like I'm so used to just being home on the weekends that now that's just kind of my normal. And I sort of feel like, oh, I can go out and do things, but I don't know. It's just weird.
You're not geared to, it's not an automatic thing where you're like, yep, we'll go out. It's now you have to like go through this whole thought process of, oh, Yeah. Well, maybe we could go out.
Yeah.
Is it safe? Yes, it is safe. Okay.
It's like the default used to be like, let's go out. We're going out.
Yeah, yeah.
And now the default is we're at home.
Yeah. It's okay. Nothing's really changed for me because it's like, oh, we'll go out. Now we've got a child. So.
Same, same. Well, so late Saturday we decided, we're like, let's go out for dinner.
Yeah, nice.
Date night.
Yeah.
Cool. So we called up Hanoi Kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And that's in Bowen Heads. Yep. And they're like, yep, we've got a table for two, 8:30. Perfect.
Wow.
Right?
Late dinner.
I love a late dinner on a Saturday.
You too. Ah,
makes
buddy.
It feel special. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And because we snack a lot, worked out well for us.
So much freedom. I can't believe it.
I know. So we got there. We just sat down. And they're great there. I don't know if you've been there before, but man, that food is so good.
No, I've not been, but I've heard good things.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, it's great. So we had a really nice time, really nice meal. And then it was about 10 o'clock. And it was a nice night on Saturday.
Mm.
Saturday was obviously hot and kind of humid. It's been a bit weird.
Mm.
But then it really cooled off. And we're like, let's go for a little stroll.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just see what Bowen Heads has to offer.
Romantic. Yeah, sure.
Because there's like fairy lights and stuff. It's like, nice.
Mm.
And then there was a guy on an electric skateboard that came past. He was like 50. Good on him. I'm like, Bowen Heads has everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
A few restaurants still kind of open.
Yeah.
So the minimal people about.
Did you try and stop in at the pub and then they say, no, sorry, we keep telling you, you can't come here anymore.
The pub was going off, actually.
We've got your photo behind the bar. You're not welcome.
I am allowed to go. Shush. Anyway, so we went for a bit of a walk and, not a lot of action. If there is any action, it's all inside a venue, right?
Mm.
Not many people out in the street.
Sure.
And then we walked down and then we decided to walk back up to get to the car. And so this car with a boat drives past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not tugging a boat. What it is? It's
towing a boat?
Towing a boat.
Yep.
Yeah. It's towing a boat.
Oh, I saw Gary the other day. What was he doing? Oh, he's tugging a boat.
What? Hey, that could happen.
Drove past
in
me
the
tugging
seafarer's
a boat.
Trade. I'm sure you hear that a lot. Out at sea. So Jimmy reads the boat's name and he reads it out aloud because he's like shocked about it, right?
Okay.
And the boat's called Slipper One.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, Slipper One?
Yeah, yeah.
Slipper One?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're just like, ha, wow, that's inappropriate for a boat.
What a seafaring name.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like anything goes.
Slipper One.
International waters.
Yeah.
Get right. Over
anyway, but because he yelled it out of shock, right?
Yeah.
Further up the road, there was this couple also enjoying a night stroll. And it was a guy and a girl, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're both turned around, and the guy's like turned around, like quite shocked. And then we've both looked at each other, we're like, no, no, it was the boat name.
Oh, my God, you had to explain.
Because it sounded like we're like, yeah, Slipper One.
I'd like to apologise to that couple. If you're
listening. It was the boat's name.
Miss the show. Here are the best bits of Tom and Logie.
Tom and Logie.
On K-Rock.
Bad things can happen when you borrow a car.
Oh, yes, they can. You really kind of... The person lending the car is putting a lot of trust in you.
And oh, yeah.
You're literally taking your life in your own hands when you're driving someone else's car.
It's not just, doing the wrong thing and getting a speeding ticket or something like that. It's having a ding.
You
know what I mean?
Oh,
parking it somewhere, forgetting where you parked it, getting towed. Yeah. There's a whole array of things that can happen when you borrow someone's car.
Setting it up to be broken into. I mean, not intentionally, but. So I'm on a legal forum and a woman has posted in there. Essentially, she's got three sons that are in their late teens and early 20s. She's bought a car so that they can all drive it and she doesn't have to give them lifts anywhere anymore, pick them up, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, in the last week, she's received two speeding tickets in the post, both over $400 a pop with 3 points per fine to boot. That's quoting her. And none of the kids are owning up to it.
Mm.
So she's going on asking for legal advice. But it got me thinking, when you borrow your parents' car, you can get yourself in trouble. As I said before, those ads, my mum's car got broken into because I left it in the city in Adelaide, parked in like a dodgy laneway.
Yeah, just for 2 or 3 days.
For a whole weekend, yeah. Also, my dad, when we lived in Geelong CBD, we lived in a little old, cottage, and we had a driveway, but it was a super narrow one.
Oh.
And my dad needed to keep one of his cars, which was a collector's item car.
Yeah.
At our house in our garage for like a matter of months, and the battery died on it. at one point. So we got it to jump start, but then I had to take it to the actual
the mechanics dealer, or whatever,
to fix it. And he wasn't there. He was not, so I managed to jump start it, and then reversing it out, the driveway was so narrow and it had so many parking sensors that it was always beeping.
Oh,
so the whole way
God.
Down this driveway, it's just beep, 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 beep. And so I couldn't tell when I was getting close or when I wasn't. Oh. And I'm looking, and it's like, and anyway, so as I've pulled out, I'm like, great, I'm out, that's fine. And as I turn, the nose just grazed the fence. I'm like, no! Oh, God. And if he's listening now, Dad, I'm sorry, because I just gave him the car back and didn't mention it.
So. It was me.
What happened when you borrowed the car, Faith, in Grovedale? What happened with you?
Well, it wasn't my parents' car, it was my brother's car, and he was over in the mines, and I borrowed his because mine wasn't doing too good. And he didn't have it insured, and I had a couple of learner's drivers, so he said for them to drive it, I had to get it insured. So I did that in the morning, not a problem, blah, blah, blah. Went somewhere for the day, and then about 11 o'clock that night, I wrote it off.
Oh, my God. So obviously you were okay.
Yeah. I did go to hospital because I couldn't breathe properly and they thought I might have broken a rib, but it was actually just from the pressure of the airbag going off and hitting me.
Oh, jeepers Christ.
But, yeah, so needless to say, I was covered because I insured it about 12 hours earlier and I had full comprehensive because I had put a couple of learner's drivers on it. So
yeah, oh, my God. Thank goodness you did, though.
So I know. It was just a matter of, I had done it so that the kids could drive it and... Yeah. Lucky for him, I'd insured it.
How did bro take the news?
So, well, my mum rang him and he asked how his car was and my mum said, well, your sister's okay.
Oh.
So, I was the second question, the car was the first question.
Yeah, far out. Okay, well, that's pretty serious.
That's hectic. We've got Tanya in Lovely Banks now. Tanya, what happened when you borrowed the car?
Back when I was about 18 or maybe 19 or 20 when I was living at home with mum and dad, it was raining. So I said to dad, can I borrow your car? Because his car was in front of mine because I couldn't be bothered.
Sure.
And he goes, yeah, no worries. And it was raining. It was really just a yuck day. So off I go, driving dad's car. I've come to a roundabout and my car was a front-wheel drive and dad's car was a real rear-wheel drive, just to clarify.
Yeah.
And I've gone through the roundabout in the wet, accelerated as I was coming out of the roundabout, lost the back end, flipped all the way around, done like a big 360, and I hit no standing post.
Oh, my wow. Lord.
I stacked it, and I was crapping myself thinking dad is going to kill me.
I was going to say, how scary, so, A, to go through it, but B, to then have to tell your dad.
I was more scared of telling dad than the actual accident, I tell you now.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
I've rung my brother and I've gone, oh, man, you got to come get me because I've stacked dad's car. And he's like, oh, okay, because my brother was living at home at the time. So he's like, all right, I'll be there in a minute. Mm-hmm. So he's like gone, come and get me, and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to kill me, and he's going, oh, you're so dead, and I'm like, oh, crapping myself.
Yeah.
So, he's in the, all right, you're right, you're good, no worries. So we've both driven home, he's followed me home, because it was still drivable, lucky.
Yeah.
And I've pulled into the driveway, and dad's come out, and he's gone, what's happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so sorry, bawling my eyes out, I crashed the car, and he's going, don't worry, it's just a car. We've got insurance.
Yeah.
Bless.
After all of that crapping myself, we didn't care.
So
it was all good in the end.
Okay,
that's nice.
I mean, that's just a little lesson for me too. I'm like, all of this, I'm thinking, oh my God, there's going to come a day when I'm going to, have to do with something like this.
Tom and Loggie's podcast, K-Rock 955.
Man, Texas is absolutely copping it at the moment. Mm. They're sort of coming out of the worst of it, but there was sort of an Arctic cold snap that plunged Texas into minus like 18 degrees in some parts.
Yeah, crazy.
And people passed away. Like, it has been the coldest that people have ever lived in. You think of America, a lot of people deal with the cold over there. Mm. You know, they're, some places are used to it, but some places aren't.
No.
It's just like if we got plunged into minus 18 degrees, we would have no idea.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So a lot of people, it's been really hard for them. A million people lost power.
Lost power, yeah. And apparently the gas pipes all froze up. And yeah. So, yeah, so they really battled. And they're not tapped into the power grid from the East Coast or the West Coast. They've got their own power grid in Texas.
Oh, okay.
So when it all shuts down, they got no backup. They can't flick a switch and take power from somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, and they were all told, you've got to boil all your water because we can't guarantee it's safe. And then there was no water for it. And then it's been a whole thing for them. But there are some stories that are coming out that are quite cute out of all of this sort of stuff, which you normally find and we like. So a couple, they actually got out the front of their house. They noticed someone's car broke down and it was a delivery driver. Now, Chelsea Timmons, she became stranded after her car slid down the driveway of a customer's home in Austin.
Wow.
She crashed into their flower bed. She said she was driving, started pumping the brakes. And if you've ever driven around ice before.
I've never. No, I've not had to.
It's terrifying.
I can imagine.
When you are pumping the brakes and nothing's happening and you are just sliding.
Far out.
And there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Right? So homeowners Doug and Nina came out to see if they could help.
Yes.
Right? And they said, look, it's freezing out here. We can't help you. Let's call the repair truck people, the repair car people.
Yeah.
Right? We'll get someone to, we'll get a truck to come and tow it out.
Tow it, yeah, yeah.
Just come into our house because you can't stay out here.
Yeah.
Like it's freezing.
Die. You'll literally die.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? So she went in. Repair truck never came.
What?
Never came.
Okay.
And obviously it's hard times.
Yeah.
So during that period, who knows what happened. They ended up staying. Yeah. And offering Chelsea a bed for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Because she could not get out. No one was around to help her.
Mm.
Emergency services were filled with other people that were in worse ways. So she just lived with this couple for 5 days.
And shared their bed.
Well, she didn't share their bed. I think she shared something else.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe
sorry,
the couch.
I've misinterpreted that.
No, you thought they were like, fly into our honeypot. Is that what you were kind of thinking?
Yeah.
Look, I don't know what it is that you get up to in your coupledom, but.
Their driveway actually wasn't frozen. It was like greased. It was like oil.
Straight into the front door.
Venus flytrap. Got ya.
Tom and Long. K-Rock.